welcome to a new episode of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your hosts, 49ers insider Matt Maiocco and 49ers host Laura Britt.
As our friend just said, welcome to 49ers Talk. What he didn't say was 49ers Talk is brought to you by Big O Tires.
What he also didn't say is that what you guys don't see behind the scenes, Maiocco's been trying to press record on the podcast for like the last 10 minutes. And I got, you're not a boba drinker, but I am. I'm very California now. I feel like I'm a local because of this. But I keep taking sips of this this tea, and Maiocco can't press record. So anyway, we finally got around to, I put it on hold.
I've been going, are you ready, Laura? And you go, mm-hmm. Now, boba, isn't it those little balls filled with like tapioca or?
You know, Maiocco, I don't know the details.
They're disgusting.
Here's the difference. I don't think these are actually boba. Maybe somebody out there listening can help me. Because these are brown sugar pearls is what they're called.
Sugar pearls, okay.
That's all I know. I don't know any more details. I know that they're very sugary and they taste amazing.
Wow.
And as we're taping this today, I'm lucky enough to be able to do this with you, do the Giants and the Sharks, hence the matcha in here. I need a little caffeine.
You need a boost?
A little boost, because it's going to be a long day.
You know what?
What?
The 49ers got a boost. Did
you see
on Friday morning, and actually Thursday morning as well, the video that Nick Bosa posted on his Instagram story?
I think there were multiple. I saw two, maybe three. I think there were two. And yes, I did see it. I was very impressed. I have this very irrational thought every time I see these professional athletes working.
Well, first off, you always have irrational thoughts, even when it's not about professional athletes. But go ahead.
Fine. Every time I see these, so a former cheerleader, as most of you know listening, I cheered in college.
The tallest flyer in the history of UAB.
That's probably true. Anyway, I get this thought every time I see these videos from these athletes when they're training and like really intense. I'm like, oh, I need to get back out there and start doing this stuff again. Every time. And when we go to 49ers practice, I think the same thing. I'm like, man, I wish I had my shoes. It's just irrational. It doesn't happen.
Would you be one of these people, because you know I am, that would be doing lunges in front of the mirror while also filming myself and then posting it? And
I typically don't post my workouts. Now, I will do a little run post, and here's my reasoning behind that. Because I get inspired when other people post about their runs, so I'm hoping that I can inspire somebody, but I typically don't post my workouts. Anyway, back to Nick Bosa. I did see his video. I will not be doing any cone drills anytime soon that I'm aware of, but Nick Bosa looked really good doing the cone drills. You posted the video, I believe, on your Instagram. So he posted it in his story. So by the time you're listening to this, it might have disappeared if you didn't get to see it, but go to Maiocco's Instagram account and he posted one of the videos. Honestly, it's always really impressive to me, especially coming back from knee surgery, any kind of knee, anything. It's a long road. It's a long road to recovery. And I always think about what these players have going through their minds when they step back out on the football field. And you have to be at a place where you're not thinking about that injury anymore. That's the only way you're really going to be able to be successful again back on the field. And he seems, by the looks of that, it seems like he's there.
It's kind of funny because the last time we saw him, he was being carted off the field when the 49ers were playing the New York Jets. And then he just kind of disappeared. I mean, we didn't see him. We didn't hear from him. So it was almost like he disappeared into this black hole. And it's almost kind of out of sight, out of mind. And you wonder, but you don't really know, you know, how the rehab is going. And then when those videos appeared, it's like, holy cow, he's like ready to play football. I mean, he looked really good in those drills, which the one was him like pulling a weighted sled. And then the ones on Friday, he was doing the 20-yard shuttle, which is also called the 5-10-5 drill because he's running 5 yards, then 10 yards, then 5 yards. And that showed like really good change of direction and agility. And then the 3-cone drill, and I don't know if you noticed, but when he did the 3-cone drill at the combine, it's all running, you know, straight ahead.
Yeah.
But the way he did it was he ran 5 yards and then backpedaled and then did the 3-cone. So, boy, I mean, he looks He looks really good. And if he's looking good, I think that 49ers defensive line for the 2021 season is looking very good.
Yeah, this is one of the things we've been asked, I feel like maybe the most about just since his injury. How is Nick Bosa doing? People just really wanting to check in and see. And since we weren't able to be around the team as much as normal, and you don't get to see the players rehabbing on the side field or, you know, different things like that, we haven't really been able to see anything outside of what he posts on Instagram. So anyway, yeah, I think the defensive line with Nick Bosa back, that's a frightening defensive line.
You know that I think on occasion you've called me kind of geeky or kind of like a little bit off kilter.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I'm reading into it that the other words you've used to describe me could be considered that. But anyway, I went back and I looked at, so that 5-10-5 drill, the 20-yard shuttle.
Yeah.
He ran a 4.14 at the combine, and I taped, or I should say, I got my phone out and did the stopwatch on him. And I did it like repeatedly, did it like 6 times. And on my stopwatch, he kept coming in at like 3.86, 3.90. So right there in that area. And I'm looking at that going, okay, now are the yards off a little bit? Was he doing 4 yards? Was he doing four and a three quarter yards instead of the 5 yards? But regardless of the exact yardage and regardless of the exact like quickness time, of timing. My time, his time was really darn good, which leads me to believe that he will be more than ready to go when the 49ers get on the field.
Are you trying to make a career switch to official timekeeper?
That would be a really good fallback profession. Is it a profession?
Probably. Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Somebody's getting paid to do that at the combine, right?
I guess, but there's probably some other skills that go along with that as far as being able to evaluate if the guy can actually play football or not. But we do know that Nick Bosa can play football, and we do know that a lot of these guys on the 49ers defensive line can play football, because when you look at it right now, I would expect them to use a draft pick on the defensive line, but obviously it won't be the number 3 overall pick. But you're talking about Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead, Javon Kinlaw, DJ Jones is back. Samson Ebukam was signed as a free agent. Jordan Willis is back. Kentavious Street. They signed a 335-pound nose tackle who's played a lot of games in 7 NFL seasons. Zach Kerr, Darian Daniels. And then we'll have to see with some other people like Dee Ford. Ronald Blair is still very much in the picture for the 49ers. Kevin Givens is, you know, he's run into some off the field issues that perhaps puts the season in jeopardy. But right now the 49ers are in a pretty good position, I think, as far as some of the talent they have on that defensive line.
I agree. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. I'm most excited about Javon Kinlaw. He got the big guy touchdowns are my favorite. And we saw Javon Kinlaw do that last year. I have high expectations for him this year, just from everything I've heard about his work ethic and the type of person that he is. Really excited to see him. You did mention Kevin Givens. So he was arrested for more of the details surrounding him on February 22nd. It was on a charge of second degree assault. He's got a court appearance. This was in Baltimore on April 26th. So the 49ers did release a statement regarding Givens. I won't read all of it, but they said the 49ers organization is aware of the media report regarding Kevin Givens. We're gathering the relevant facts of this matter and will continue to monitor the situation. I think anytime you're a player and you've got off the field issues, it creates a lot of question marks for obvious reasons with the organization. Are they willing to, first off, if anything is true, they have to deal with the consequences of not having that player potentially. And then if it turns out to not be the case, then it just puts the entire organization in a bad spot.
Yeah. And this one, you know, Kevin Givens was a guy and still could be, we'll see how this whole thing plays out, but he's a guy that I think is ready to kind of take that next step and be a really good player. And even DJ Jones, when he re-signed that 1-year deal, one of the things he just kind of brought up on his own, this was before the news of Kevin Givens surfaced, but he said that, you know, he's really high on Kevin Givens, that he just comes to work and he doesn't say much, but he works hard every day. And so he thought that he was going to have a really good season. 49ers Talk is brought to you by Planet Orange, effective, eco-friendly pest control.
Mayoko, somehow we've made it this far in the podcast and not even mentioned Adam Schefter's name. How did that happen? He joined you for a discussion and we haven't even brought him up yet. What am I doing here? Why am I even talking right now?
Yeah, but I think that's called Adam Schefter. See, he's an old newspaper guy. I'm an old newspaper guy. That's called burying the lead. So Adam Schefter did join us here on 49ers Talk. Obviously, if you don't know who Adam Schefter is, you should probably stop listening to the podcast right now, because maybe football isn't your sport. He's really, over the past 15 years, has really kind of changed how the reporting game is done. And it used to be that, you had your local reporters and there weren't a whole lot of national reporters, but, you know, really since Twitter, since everybody's on Twitter and with the NFL Network and ESPN breaking news and all that stuff, he's done a remarkable job, the best there's ever been, as far as covering basically all 32 teams. And whenever there's big news going on around the NFL, there's a good chance it's coming from Adam Schefter.
I don't think people realize how much energy, time, that what his job is takes up. And that's what you used to do. I mean, if anybody gets it, you do. Because there has been that shift. So typically the way it was that the local reporters, you included, would have these, you know, inside scoops, which you still do. But now those stories are broken more on a national level. But this guy's not sleeping. He's not. I mean, you're going to have your phone with you all the time. I just know that if I have to be up early for something, you know, if I have to be up at 5:15 to do an early 49ers pregame show, I don't sleep well that night because I'm panicked that my alarm's going to go off and I'm not going to hear it or something. That's this man's life all the time. You know, there's always something going on. The Trent Williams signing was in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff happens all the time. So it's a tough gig. I mean, it's fun for being able to have all these contacts that he has and getting to have cool experiences, but he earns it. That's for sure.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. And you know, for me, I kind of saw the shift in 2011 when the NFL had its lockout and then they opened up free agency and everything else, like right before training camp started. And that was probably the first off season where it was really difficult for me as a local guy to get phone calls back. And it was almost like all the news was going through the national guys. And I think that off season really signaled a shift that was extremely difficult for me to take. I mean, it was tough for somebody who wanted to, you know, be on the forefront of the breaking news and all of that, to then at some point realize that it's going to be very difficult to compete at the local level when you have people who are extremely good at their jobs, like Adam Schefter, breaking the news on all 32 beats. And so just probably recently, probably like in the last 5 years, it kind of settled in with me that, hey, it's okay. You know, if he reports something or somebody else reports something, it's okay for me to learn about it through him. But then I think what I'm able to do, and I talked a little bit to Adam about this at the beginning of our talk, is that, you know, he gets a scoop and then he moves on. When he gets something on the 49ers, you know, beat or something that impacts the 49ers, now I think it's my job with kind of the institutional knowledge of the 49ers and how they operate and what the roster looks like and other things to then kind of put it all into perspective and be able to say, okay, you know, what does this mean? How does this impact the team going forward? What does it mean for this player, that player, and that player? And so that's how I've been able to kind of pivot and still cover the beat, but without maybe the abundance of breaking news that I would have liked to have had 10 years ago. So it's an interesting dynamic. And again, you know, when Schefter reports something, when his ESPN colleagues, whom many of whom I know, report something, and the great team they have at the NFL Network, when they report something, I mean, it's golden. You know, I know the sourcing is spot on. I generally know where it's coming from, but that kind of signals then for the beat reporters to, okay, now give it some clarity, give it some context that can help our readers, our listeners understand kind of the thought process behind the moves that are happening.
Yeah, dig in and start to, you know, sift out all of the pieces and put it together where it's easier to see the big picture. And also, I feel like your stress level probably went way down during that time.
Well, initially it went up.
Because, right, when
when I started getting my head beaten in with a frying pan by all these national reporters. So yes, initially the stress level went through the roof. And then once you kind of take a step back and realize what kind of the new rules of engagement are, then you're able to have more fun. And you and I can, you know, you wouldn't have wanted to have 49ers talk back when I was angry, Matt, Laura.
I'm not buying that at all. Let's get to Adam Schefter. I want to hear this discussion.
Yeah, let's get to Adam right after this word from Big O Tires.
At Big O Tires, you can trust that you're getting a good deal. Now buy three, get one free on select sets of tires with installation purchase. Plus, pay nothing today with easy and affordable financing options for nearly any budget. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
We're back on 49ers Talk, and joining us on 49ers Talk at this point is the preeminent NFL insider. He is ESPN senior NFL insider, host of the Adam Schefter podcast. It's Adam Schefter. Adam, I'm going to thank you on a couple of different levels. Thank you, first off, for being my guest on 49ers Talk. And secondly, I don't know if you've ever heard this from a beat reporter, but thank you for making my job easier.
Why is that? How do we make your job easier, Matt?
I think, when you and I, we started out as beat reporters, you with the Denver Post and Rocky Mountain News, yeah. And there was that grind. And, you know, it's changed a lot now. And mm-hmm. over the past, I'd say, decade, it's really, I find that the news is broken on the national level more than the local level. Okay. For teams. And at first that really bothered me. I got to admit it, Adam, it bothered me, but what I've been able to do and what my place of employment kind of encourages is to pivot past the news and do something that, the national guys don't necessarily do, which is now tell you what it means and what the impact on the team is. And so, you know, guys like you are out there grinding away and, you know, there's just one scoop after another. And I think the job now of the local beat reporters is more to take a step back and kind of analyze what it means.
That's interesting. I've never had anybody thank me for that, for making their job easier. Again, my job is to get information, and sometimes that information occurs on a local beat. And so I know when I was covering a beat, if anybody got any story, I would be disappointed. Of course, I was in my 20s then. And of course, time was on and your perspective changes. And so, but that's interesting. I've never heard it expressed like that. And I appreciate saying it like that. And I appreciate the work that you do. You do a great job, Matt.
Yeah, no. And I really mean that, because it seems to me maybe about 10 years ago that it became very difficult for the local beat reporters to break stuff. And like I said, at the beginning, it bothered me, but now I do take a step back and I really appreciate the job that you do. And I know that anytime you put something out there, you're not just throwing stuff against the wall. You know, we can go to the bank with it. So, I just wonder how you do it, though. I mean, it just seems like it's one thing after another. You could have the biggest scoop ever, and then you know, 45 seconds later, you're on to something else. How do you compartmentalize that so that you're not just living and dying with every piece of breaking news in the NFL?
Well, it's funny you ask that, as I am in Augusta, Georgia, at the Masters for the very first time in my life, where also for the first time in my adult professional life, I'm not allowed to have a cell phone during the day. So I didn't have a cell phone yesterday. I didn't have one today. I won't have one for a good portion of Friday as well. And so anything that would happen, I would not be involved in. And I've never been able to say that about anything. And I'm glad that the 49ers made the trade with the Dolphins. Was it two Fridays ago, last Friday or two Fridays ago?
It was the 26th.
Two Fridays ago. It begins to blend together after a while. And so it's, you know, it's just a situation where we all find out what our jobs are. We try to work hard at them and do them the best we can. And that's all I've tried to do. I've been fortunate to be in this line of work for 31 years now. Started covering the NFL in 1990. And so when you're doing something that long, you're fortunate to get to know a lot of people and build up a lot of relationship capital. And I think that's really what it's about.
Yeah, so let me take you back to that day, Friday, March 26th. Mm-hmm. And it, I'm looking at it here at 10:04 a.m. Pacific time.
I could have told you the exact minute before you even said that.
Is that right?
104 Eastern. Oh, yeah.
And why does that stick?
Because I was waiting for the trade papers to be signed for a while, and they hadn't been signed. And obviously the trade wasn't going to be official and be reported on until the trade papers were signed. And so, I'll just say I thought they were going to be signed before that.
Okay. Yeah, because I can tell, I believe you said filed to ESPN. And so when you know something is happening, you're able to write it up and have it ready to go for when it becomes official?
Like there was a graphic posted on Instagram at that moment too, right? Like a full graphic. And I think I did that one right afterwards. Like I just started trying to pump it all out as fast as I could.
Right.
And if you remember on that one, right? There were a series of tweets. It was like bam, 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 right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You go look, probably 104, 105, 107, 109, like one thing after another, because I was just sitting there waiting for it to get done and be official. And this is true, and this is true, and this is true, and there we go.
And so you also mentioned, you know, a blockbuster deal with massive ramifications for years to come.
Yeah.
So expound on that. Why do you see this as such a, I mean, obviously it is a big deal, but what caught you in the moment to say that this is going to have massive ramifications?
Because it shook up the whole draft. Because the 49ers moved up to a spot where we all know they're going to take a quarterback, whoever the quarterback is that they decide to take, because the Dolphins slid back and we're going to come back up again and the Eagles are going to move back. And when you rearrange the top 12 picks with three teams, with one team going from 12 to 3 and another going from 12 to 6 and another going from 6 to 12 and getting extra first-round draft picks and everything like that, that shapes all of those franchises for years to come, right?
Yeah.
So, absolutely. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I oversold it. I that's how I felt at the moment when you're talking about three teams jockeying inside the top 12 picks. That changes the way the draft will unfold.
And when you reported that, the first thing obviously is, okay, it's going to be a quarterback. And my first thought was, could it be Mac Jones? And then my second thought was, gosh, I think if you would take a quarterback at 3, it'd have to be someone who's, you know, maybe more dynamic and gives you more of you know, whatever term we want to put it, the new age quarterback. But where do you stand right now on, do you think the 49ers know who they're going to pick, or are they leaning a certain way? Do they still have an open mind? How do you kind of term it right now?
I think they have an open mind right now. I think that they go into this looking at the three quarterbacks that'll be there. They're obviously going to go watch Justin Fields work out again. I think they have a high opinion of Trey Lance, and I think they have a high opinion of Mac Jones. So I think they like all three. Now, if you're asking me today, who I would guess Mac Jones today. Mm-hmm. But we're also 3 weeks away from the draft. There's going to be a lot of meetings. There's going to be a lot of discussions. They're going to be attending workouts. So what happens between now and then? I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out what enters their thought process, what gets brought up into discussion, and what factors push them ultimately to the quarterback that they decide to take.
A lot of people here, you know, there's been a lot of yourself, myself, Chris Sims, Michael Silver, who else? We had Mike Tannenbaum on. Everyone is saying things are leaning toward Mac Jones. And the fans out here are saying, oh, could this be a smokescreen, all mm-hmm. this? And I've kind of pushed back on that because it's not like the 49ers are going out there broadcasting, you know, what they're thinking. But what's your take on the amount of, you know, gamesmanship or smokescreen that's happening out there right now?
I don't believe in smoke screening. I don't think that they have to smoke screen anybody at three. They gave up a lot of ammunition. We know Trevor Lawrence is going to be the pick at one. We know Zach Wilson is going to be the pick at two. The 49ers are on the clock. Why do they have to smoke screen anybody? They get to take the quarterback who they want, whoever they decide that is going to be. I think all the quarterbacks bring different elements to the table. I think that, you know, Trey Lance has a big ceiling. Justin Fields has a big ceiling. Mac Jones may not have the same ceiling, but again, he offers different attributes. And so that's up for them to make that decision and to ultimately decide. But again, I still think they have to come to their final decision. And I think they have 3 weeks to do that.
Do you think that the 49ers would be going to Columbus to watch Justin Fields if they had already made their mind up that it's Mac Jones? Or are they just doing their due diligence?
Well, that's a big trip to make. And I think when you've got the third pick, you've got to make sure that you do as much work as possible to see every possible option. For all we know, Justin Fields is going to blow them away, light it up that day. They're going to have great meetings, going to hit it off, and they're going to fall for that guy that day. Mm-hmm. Like, that could happen. That could happen. They're going because that's the right and responsible thing to do when you have the third overall pick and you've given up as much as you have to get it. And there are enough people who like Justin Fields and believe in his future. Mm-hmm. You owe that to the process to see what he has and what he's about before you make your pick. And that's exactly what I'm talking about, in the sense that we have between now and the draft 3 weeks to continue to gather as much information as they can on these other prospects.
And Kyle Shanahan said, you know, that you have to have three quarterbacks in mind if you're going to make that deal. And as you mentioned, yep. Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson would have to be one and two. And you would assume, you know, the third guy is, I mean, my thought would be it's Mac Jones to start with, and we'll see if someone else enters the picture. But that's something that John and Kyle would have to be on board with as far as the person initially they're going up to three for. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, no, and I think they want everybody on board with the pick, whoever the pick turns out to be. I think, again, you know, when you have an organization and you got a head coach and GM and a pro personnel director and all these other people who have spent all their years, all their months, all their time compiling reports and information, they're going to have strong opinions. Not everybody is going to agree on the same quarterback. Mm-hmm. Not everybody. So, again, ultimately, some people within the organization have more power than the others, and some people's voices carry more weight than the others. But that doesn't mean that you don't try to come to a consensus and see what everybody has to say and what everybody brings to the party. And that's what they're going through right now.
And I want to take you back to your Denver days. Was Kyle Shanahan around a lot when you were covering the Broncos?
He was around some. He initially got to Duke. You know, he was in high school, and he'd be at training camp, and he'd be on the practice fields. And when the Broncos won their first Super Bowl in January of 1998, he was holding his dad's, you know, wires, which, you know, it was not as wireless then as it is now. And so he's carrying his wires, and you see the NFL Films replays, and you can see Kyle right in the background, you know, right with his dad. I think when John Elway did that whirly bird, you know, Kyle is pretty demonstrative about what just happened. And so, you know, I remember going to Texas at the time when he first went to Duke, and then he went to Texas, and him and Chris Sims were great friends, as many people know. And I remember going to Texas. I don't know what I was doing there, but I went to Texas and I took him and Chris to dinner. They were college students at a steakhouse there, and wrote a story about their friendship. And that would have run in the Denver Post. So if somebody wants to Google that, wow, a feature that I did on Chris Sims and Kyle Shanahan and their relationship. I'd be curious if you come across, yeah, that, email to me, Matt.
I definitely will. Do you remember if they had their matching tattoos at that point?
I think they probably did, but I don't know that for sure. I don't know the timing.
Hey, this has been a crazy off season. We knew it would be, just because of the declining salary cap. A lot of 1-year deals out there. Anything about this off season surprise you that you could see like carrying over, where there's more of a disparity than ever between that, you know, the guys who are getting paid, you know, the middle class, and then the guys who just come back on you know, minimum contracts?
Well, you know, that part didn't surprise me, because I kind of figured that a lot of players who didn't get paid would want 1-year deals and try to come back to the free agent market. You know, if you're a player, I think you want to get to a free agency in the year 2023, when the cap begins to really start going up again with the new media rights money involved. That's the time to do it. And so, you know, the money part, no, that didn't surprise me. There's still a lot of guys on the street right now, by the way. You know, when you look out there, Richard Sherman and Antonio Brown and some good players who are still out there right now who still haven't gotten deals. And, you know, they're waiting to get something. But the fact of the matter is, there's just not a lot of money out there from a lot of teams.
Yeah. And how do you feel about just the way the 49ers have handled this part of the early offseason, setting themselves up for the draft, and being able to have, I don't know if they would consider it a luxury, but having that luxury of moving up from 12 to 3 to get their quarterback of the future?
I think they're very pleased with their offseason, and that they were able to keep Trent and make some of the other moves that they did, Trent Williams. So to me, I think they feel pretty good. Now, oh, look, ultimately, Matt, their offseason is going to be judged by what they do at pick 3 and the success or lack of success that particular quarterback has. If that pick turns out to be a success, this offseason will be a boom. And if it's not, then it won't. And so that's kind of what you got.
And as they go through the offseason program, we'll see what the offseason program looks like in training camp. Mm-hmm. Would you expect them to keep a very open mind with Jimmy Garoppolo as far as trading him, whether there's a spot on the team for him, or do you think they're heading into this thinking that Garoppolo will be that week one starter?
I think they head in with the idea that Garoppolo will be the week one starter. I think that's the plan today. Do plans change? Sometimes they do, right? That happens. If somebody makes an offer for Jimmy Garoppolo, do I think they'd listen? If it were compelling enough, sure. Why not? Why wouldn't you, right? I don't know that any of that's going to happen. And that's why I believe that they are planning to go into the season with Jimmy Garoppolo as their starting quarterback. Plus, again, 2 of the last 3 seasons, he's been hurt. So if you have Jimmy and he gets hurt, well, now you get your rookie quarterback. You don't have to throw the rookie quarterback into the fire right away. You can bring him along slowly, a lot like Kansas City did with Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith. Now, again, does some team make an offer that we don't see today that tempts them? That always could happen. But I believe that their plan right now is to have Jimmy be a starter, and we'll see.
You'd mentioned that you'd talked to an NFC general manager, yeah, who said that teams have a much higher opinion of Mac Jones than the media does, or I would even take it as far as the fan base as well. Is Mac Jones, in your mind, enough NFL ready that he could step in early in the season and play winning football?
Man, I'll be honest. I don't study a lot of tape of these guys. So I don't view myself as somebody who right now, 3 weeks out, is qualified to say, boy, this guy is ready to play at the NFL level. I'm talking to people about their opinions. And to go back to that one general manager, his exact words were, Matt is an elite. He's got elite accuracy. He's an elite processor. And he's got elite leadership skills. Those were his exact words. He said that he's higher on draft boards, more highly rated than fans believe he is. Again, so I like to go to people whose opinion I respect, ask them their opinion, and see what they say, and kind of keep compiling all these opinions. And what I've heard about Mac Jones so far is pretty strong, pretty favorable.
Well, Adam, you've been an elite guest here on 49ers Talk. So
I don't know about that, Matt. I appreciate you having me.
I appreciate it, and enjoy your rest of the time in Augusta. Was this a bucket list item for you?
Funny you use that term, because that's exactly what happened. When I got the call on Tuesday night from a friend, he's like, hey, got your tickets, got your flight, got your hotel room if you can make it. I'm like, okay, cross off an item from my bucket list. Nice. Now, it was the first time that I was leaving my house, that I spent the night away from my home since – basically the combine of 2020.
Yeah.
And so that was weird. And, you know, there was so much that went into it. I mean, just something simple. It was overwhelming for me to get together. Like, okay, well, I have a standing toiletry bag. Many of us who travel for a living do, right? You just grab the bag and there's your toothpaste and mouthwash and shaving cream and whatnot. And so I know that I haven't gone into that traveling bag in like a year and a half. So, or a year and a quarter. And so I'm like, well, do I have what I need? I have no idea. And it was already 8:30 at night. I was leaving at 5 in the morning, you know, the next day. So it was a little much, but it was a good problem, because I was able to cross off an item that always had been on my bucket list. Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's a good friend you have.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my friend took care of me on this one. He was able to work out some things, and, it was pretty incredible.
All right. I'm happy for you, Adam, and looking forward to seeing you at some point down the road.
Thank you, Matt. Be well. Stay safe. Thank you for having me today.
Dish and Sling customers, don't miss a game this season on NBC Sports Bay Area and NBC Sports California. Don't miss your A's, your Giants, your Kings, your Sharks, your Warriors. To keep watching your favorite teams, go to howtowatchnbcsports.com.
All right, we're back on 49ers Talk. That was Adam Schefter. A very good conversation with him. Appreciate him joining us. And as he said, you know, you can look up that story I wrote at the Denver Post. And so I did look it up. And Laura, I sent it to you. And so last week, I know that I had my homework assignment. This was another homework assignment I have based on the interview with Adam. But did you do your homework? Did you read Adam Schefter's 1,500-word essay?
Well, this is kind of a loaded question, because what people don't know is you also sent me the Cliff Notes version. And, you know, I got 3 kids at home. I'm reading the Cliff Notes version. You took out all the juicy parts and sent them to me in a separate email. So I did my homework, and then I read the Cliff Notes version of it. And this is so good. This is such a good insight into the relationship that Chris Sims and Kyle Shanahan have.
And did I mention that article he wrote was dated April 8th, 2001. So it is just a little bit more than 20 years old.
Wow. No, I didn't know that wasn't in the Cliff Notes. So thanks for the context. Now I have a better understanding. So he said, as you heard, so he took them to dinner for this article. And I just love the back and forth that Sims and Shanahan have. It's some of the quotes that he says in here. They're talking about what time they're waking up and just the banter back and forth. If you guys want to read the article, I'm sure you can use the old Google machine and find it too.
I had to pay for it, by the way.
Oh,
I had to pay like $3.95. Do you think they'll reimburse me for that?
That's going to be a hard sell, but maybe. Anyway, you can see the banter back and forth between Sims and Shanahan. And when you think back 20 years, how has a relationship evolved over 20 years? And it's kind of easy, once you're sitting in the position that Shanahan and Sims are now, to say, oh, well, maybe they're not as close as they have been. When you start to read this stuff, you realize that their relationship and their friendship, it's lasted a long time. And maybe you should I know some of you might not want to hear this, give a little bit more weight to what Chris Sims says. And not that Shanahan tells Chris Sims everything. He made that very clear in his press conference after the trade. You know, he's not telling him everything, but Chris Sims has insight into Shanahan's mind that maybe his parents don't even have, you know, just in the friendship and playing ball together and all of that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. The article that I found at the Denver Post is entitled "Rising Suns: Texas's Chris Sims and Kyle Shanahan Are Connected by Friendship and Famous Fathers." And the very first, very high in the story, Schefter writes in introducing Kyle Shanahan, "Texas wide receiver Kyle Shanahan, son of Denver Broncos coach Mike Shanahan, is expected to be the school's number three receiver this season while preparing to work in the same field as his father." So even back then, 20 years ago, while Kyle Shanahan was a player, he was already preparing to be a coach. And that was something that Chris Sims even knew back then, because he at some point says in the article, you know, "I'd heard that Coach Shanahan's son was coming here because he wanted to become a coach." And that's how Sims saw him and went over and introduced himself. And they've been, you know, among best friends, or probably best friends, ever since.
Yeah, the magic eight ball was correct. Here we are, and Kyle Shanahan's a head coach. There were a couple things that I want to get to that Adam Schefter said that I found to be insightful when talking about the trade between the 49ers and the Dolphins. Hearing somebody like Adam Schefter say that it shook up the whole draft gives more weight to what happened. And I think everybody in the Bay Area probably felt how big of a deal this is, and we've certainly talked about how big of a deal it is. You've said that it's the most important trade the most impactful trade in your time as far as the
potentially,
draft goes.
Potentially.
Yeah, impactful. Potentially. Covering the team. So I think that, you know, just taking a step back outside of who they're going to pick and just think about what they did, it's a huge deal. He also said that he thinks that the 49ers are going to keep an open mind, which I think is easy to say, but to hear him go into more detail about how they're going to do that. He said if he had to decide right now, if he had to, just like what you've said, that he thinks that they're picking Mac Jones, but we're still 3 weeks out from the draft.
Yeah. And here's the thing, like Justin Fields, his pro day is April 14th. Trey Lance's pro day at North Dakota State is April 19th. And there are no private workouts this year because of the COVID-19 restrictions that the NFL has placed. So, I mean, hey, I've been kind of in this boat all along. And I think, obviously, Schefter, I mean, there's nothing I said that influenced Adam Schefter, of course, but I mean, I think we are in agreement that from my standpoint, I'm not going to sit here and say the 49ers are taking Mac Jones. I've never said that. I never will say that until probably they turn in their card and Roger Goodell announces who they've taken. But I do believe, or at least my prediction is right now, and it has been, that it's Mac Jones. People want to hear who I think they're going to take. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to say that I think they're taking a quarterback that I don't believe they're going to take. So we'll see if that changes, but I mean, that's my prediction. And you know, the other part of this, it kind of ruffles me a little bit, is it to think that Adam or myself or Ian Rappaport or anybody else out there in the media is just concocting this scenario that is completely implausible, at least to some people in the 49ers fan base. You know, we're not concocting anything. And to think that we're also going to reveal our sources or the information that we have that maybe other people might not have, that's not going to happen either. I mean, the moment we kind of peel back the curtain and tell you exactly who's telling us what and when they've told us and how they've told us and everything else, I mean, the moment anybody in this business does that, NFL reporters become former NFL reporters. So you just kind of, I mean, you don't have to trust that we kind of know a little bit of what we're talking about. But I think with Adam Schefter, I mean, anytime he says something, there's something behind it. And, you know, he doesn't, as I mentioned, he doesn't just throw stuff against the wall. If he's saying something as an opinion, it's because I think he believes he has a pretty good grasp on what a team is thinking.
I feel like you're the one who's been taking the social media beating for just saying that you think that the 49ers, as it stands right now, are most likely going to draft Mac Jones. I've been looking through your Twitter mentions.
Have you been like laughing at me or with me or however?
Yes, because it is the I think the way you put it is so perfectly worded that if you actually think that you're going to put your reputation on the line and Adam Schefter is going to do the same and Chris Sims is going to do the same and somehow they're all the exact same prediction as it stands right now and that there's no merit behind any of that. And I understand, listen, I went back and watched Justin Fields' college tape. I just went back because I was like, I didn't get to watch that much college football during the season last year just because I'm all in on, you know, everything going on with the 49ers during the season. I'll catch a game here or there. But I wanted to see everything about Justin Fields that everybody's so excited about. And I get it. It's really easy to get excited about Justin Fields watching his highlights. He's a really talented player. He's a really smart player. He makes good decisions. He's got a cannon of an arm. He's very accurate. I understand why people are excited about him. You also have to know that John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan have all kinds of information that we don't have in going to these pro days and talking with players and evaluating certain things that you and I don't see and recognize on the field and knowing their own systems. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm smarter than Kyle Shanahan or John Lynch. And I know I've been joking with you that you've been trolling people. You've been a little spicy on social media lately. I can tell that it's bothering you a little bit.
Oh, see, you're thinking it's getting under my skin?
No, I think people
it's all in good fun.
Yeah, people are trying to troll you and you're trolling them back and I appreciate it.
Yeah, but, I will say that I could be wrong. You know, they could pick somebody else. And you know what? If they're wrong, I'm wrong. I've been wrong before as far as making predictions. You know, it's not like I've ever reported they are taking him. I'm giving my opinion. One of the things, speaking of trolling, that I found particularly funny, I don't know if you saw this, but there was somebody on Instagram who, under a caption of one of my pictures or something, put, you know, this guy, meaning me, I know more about the 49ers than this guy. And my daughters saw that comment and they thought that was the funniest darn thing. They were howling and I saw them over there giggling amongst themselves and like, what do they got cooking? They thought it was so funny. And then they each put the reply to that guy's comment of, me too. Like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I know. So Lucy and Jane both said, oh, I know more about the 49ers than that guy, than dad. So it's been a source of a lot of amusement and a lot of fun here at the Mayoko household.
You've been getting trolled by your own family.
Can you believe that?
This is unbelievable. That's what happens though. Teenagers, right?
Thanks for listening to 49ers Talk with Matt Mayoko and Laura Britt. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know, kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.